This is Dr. Thysel. We're gathering data from for the Morehead State University Oral Heritage Committee. And we're gathering data from doctors, nurses, and others in the medically related fields for the Oral Heritage Committee of MSU, Morehead, Minnesota. This history is to be part of a permanent history in the Morehead State University Heritage Library. This oral history library will be on oral tape cassettes in many fields, including medicine, business, farming, education, politics, and others. This interview of Edna Dahlem, a nurse since 1930 or before, is conducted by interviewer Dr. V.D. Duane Thysel, that's myself, who knew Edna during all these years and was her employer in his office in Holly, Minnesota from 1942 until he moved to Morehead in September 1960. This oral heritage program we're collecting from all these people are to get the histories from people who were active in Morehead or Clay County from the 1930 to 1975 period. It's divided into three 15-year groups, 1930 to 1945, 1945 to 1960, and 1960 to 1975. But Edna Dahlem, as many others, qualifies for all three periods because she graduated from nursing in 1930 and has been active way into the 1970s. We'll start with a series of questions. I sent you these questions earlier, so you've been working on them and have studied them and got pretty good answers on them, but I'll start right now on the questions. Where were you born, Edna? And where did you live as a child? Where did you go to high school?
I was born in Grand Forks, North Dakota, May 1st, 1905. My family moved to Oslo and to Warren and finally to Detroit Lakes, Minnesota when I was 5 years, till 1926 when we moved to Holly. I was grown up then and had been in nurses training in Rochester, the Kaler School of Nursing, which later was discontinued. I came home for 1 year to recover from eczema on my hands. It took 2 years, during which we moved to Holly. My mother was hospitalized at St. Ansgar's Hospital, Morehead, for surgery. I was with her there. And Sister Bernard, the Sister Superior, invited me to try training again with them, so I did. I never regretted it for 1 minute. It was such a nice school and small, so we were all like a family, and I was so close to home, my father could pick me up on my days off in his cattle truck, which often had those I was in training with who were further away from their own homes. My folks enjoyed them all 3 years of my student life.
I think you could go right on there because
okay, it answers
the questions answers to the questions you have there. It mentions how did you decide on becoming a nurse. You can
yeah.
Tell us that.
Mm-hmm. We were six students from Holly. Dr. Fred Thysel's wife often took us to the ladies' aid meetings at our own Holly Lutheran Church, which was special. Cora Anderson was born and brought up in Holly. Her closest friend, Josie Thune, came from Rolock. The other three were from the country around Holly, or relatives in town. Besides Dr. Fred Thysel, we had Dr. J.H. Highmark, both originally from our hometown. We felt very lucky. Also, I especially did because I met patients from Holly in such a nice way. I found in those 3 years bravest patients and most enjoyable patients, to say nothing about all the ones between. Young mothers with their new babies, elderly people, so patient and long-suffering with their worried families. It was a life I loved. Years later, I left St. Ansgar's and went out in the world by myself, 6 years at Wadena Hospital, and back to St. Ansgar's to be closer to my younger sister. After she passed away, I came home again to Holly to work in Dr. V.D. Thysel's office.
Oh.
Let's let's see. As the only doctor in town, he worked long hours. The first years we had home deliveries besides the office and going to the nearby towns to give shots to the school children. We were busy, sometimes night and day, but we made it because people meant a lot to us and their illnesses were important. There was a good feeling between doctor and patient. They trusted each other completely. I keep on. I didn't get to my own graduation exercises in 1930. I was quarantined with a young girl from Yulin who was recovering from spinal meningitis. So my diploma was handed to me later. I also took my state board examinations before I graduated. Four of us went to Crookston for the 2 days of writing, and we passed in April. So for the times I had lost from for treatments for eczema on my hands, I really graduated in July, while I was on a case, sort of a mixed-up 1930 graduation, but nice to know I made it after all. We were all friends at St. Ansgar's. If anyone was outstanding, it would be our roommates. Mine was forever. We corresponded for years. She was half Swede, other half Irish. We made a pact. We were...
Who was this now?
It was Mabel Kim. Whoever should die first should come back and haunt the other one. For quite a long time, I didn't hear from her from Oregon till she wrote a penny card. I know you're living because you haven't haunted me, all my love. And after that, we kept in touch till she passed away. I also kept in touch with Cora Anderson and now with Josie way off in Seattle. So they were all important. Yes, Dr. E.W. Humphrey asked me to take care of his wife when they had their third baby. It was George, now a dentist in Moorhead, who was a New Year's baby in 1931. Let's see. Well, I stood in awe of Dr. Humphrey until I was Mrs. Humphrey's nurse, and also went home with her, which was so very nice. We had a Negro cook who was the wife of Albert, the Negro chauffeur. We lived splendidly. So he was my friend, as well as the others all were. I also took care of Dr. Thornby after a car accident, and he couldn't have been nicer, as well as Dr. Bergheim, and last but not least, the other Dr. Heimark, a cousin of Dr. J.H. Heimark. He used to be an army doctor in France during World War I. He delivered many babies of the French people and sipped their wine. He was entertaining for sure. I think we all liked Dr. Aborn of Hawley. He was from England, never charged his patients a cent, and made home calls as well as home deliveries. How he managed to live, nobody knew, but he did. A loved little man he was. Somebody always seen that he had flowers on his grave in our Hawley Cemetery, in the old part if you look for it. For my 18 years in Hawley, for Dr. V.D. Thysel, I can always say they were good years. He couldn't have been nicer to work for and with. It helped me after he left when I worked for the young doctors, Bakken and Bjerke, just out of school and anxious to hang out their shingle and make their living for their families in Hawley. It wasn't easy in those days for young men, but somehow Dr. Thysel made it and persevered for all those years. Maybe because it was his town and he had a wonderful family to always come home to. All of it worked out.
I think you've told me how you happened to pick St. Ansgar's as a nursing school because your mother had been a patient there and you talked to sister, was it Bernarda or
Bernard?
And she advised you to try it again after having tried it at Rochester and having to quit because of your eczema. You mentioned some experiences you've had. Can you think of anything else on the spur of the moment that you want to mention? Probably hard to recollect.
Well, people were always nice on their calls.
Yeah. Mentioned some of your best friends were a nurse named Kim and Cora Anderson and Josie Thune, and you also had Anna Hoglum, who you worked for Dr. Mitsun quite a few of the years you worked for me, Dr. V.D. Thysel and Hawley. And I've heard you mention others too. There was one down by Comstock, wasn't there, one of your friends?
Oh,
P,
yes.
Starting with P?
Eunice Iverson.
Eunice Iverson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Eunice Iverson was from, I can't remember, near Comstock. And Anna Hoogland was one from Hawley. Ann Nylander was from near Lake Park. And so we had many close friends. All of us were, because there were so few of us in training.
You're still seeing and writing to some of them, I guess, aren't you? All, mostly all gone now, she says. Josie Thune is still living.
We nurses who are left, you have a reunion every 3 years, and this year, 1985, the nuns are celebrating that they took over the hospital. And they asked us to have our last reunion with them. It's going to be on the third Saturday in June. And we do send out letters. We send out about 30, but some of it, we're all getting older, and some of them just can't come. Some are in homes, and some aren't well. So we're going to have our last reunion at St. Ansgar's along with the nuns, when they celebrate taking over the old Northwestern Hospital in 1920.
I was just looking over some of the questions I asked her, and she's answered quite a few of them. She mentioned names. Dr. Abram was a retired doctor in Hawley, and when Dr. Duane Thysel come to town in 1934, besides Dr. Abram in town when I came, it was Dr. C.W. Simpson, who was in Hawley from 1909 until he died in 1943. He got a stroke in 41 and he died in 43. Dr. Martin Bergheim came about 1921 and died in 1938. I came in 1934, so there were three of us from 34 to 38, and after Dr. Simpson died in 43, I was the only doctor in Hawley until 1960 when I moved to Morehead, except for 1 year. Dr. Arnold Berg was with us from 1954 to 1955, and Dr. Edna worked for me then too during all this period. And we also had a half employee afternoons to do the booker. We'd moved over from a little office on Main Street on ground level down farther north to Hawley Medical Center. They started at that time. Donald Bentley came in as a dentist then, and Dr. Berg came as a doctor, but he was only here 1 year. Some of the people that worked for us half-time were Beverly Nelson, I think, worked last. Before that, we had, what was the Jensen girl's name? One of Elmer Jensen's daughters worked for us too, Pat Jensen. And we also had Carol Olson. She was a Carol Erickson. Pat Erickson's daughter worked for us part-time. So I left for Morehead in 1960, and Hawley was without a doctor for several months through a year. Then Dr. Bakken and Bjerke came. Edna mentioned working for them too. They were only here 2 or 3 years, and Dr. Bach and I went to Bismarck, I believe, then, and Dr. Bjerke went to Wapton. I don't believe Edna worked for Dr. Nord. He was here from 1968 until he died in 1974. It's down in the notes, do you recall helping me on some OBs in the country? I'm sure she does. At least one place the family ate and did not think to feed us and we went hungry. At least one more place you helped call me back from the L.A. cottage after I'd only been down there less than half an hour. We had to go out on a confinement case, OB, and this was out near Silver Lake. She went ahead of me to the farm bringing my supplies out of Holly, and I hurried back from the lake. She brought my OB grip along and got things ready for me. When I came there, we weren't there very long before we had a delivery. As I remember, there was only one pan in the house, and we had to empty that out to boil instruments. I'm sure she remembers that. Since most of my early OBs were in the homes, we sent each OB record into the State Department of Vital Statistics and kept a stub for our own information. And Edna numbered them all in consecutive order up to about 1,700 OBs, confinement cases, that I delivered out of my Holly experience of over 26 years. This enabled me to keep a good record for later review. I have some of these early experiences, including OB experiences of interest on oral tapes. I have a record of these, and MS Oral History Department has a duplicate copy of them. I should mention Dr. Fred Thysel and Dr. Jacob Heimark were in Holly before they went to Morehead. Dr. Fred Thysel was here from about 1916 to 19, then went to Morehead. A year later, Dr. Jake Heimark went to Morehead and practiced with Dr. Thysel, Humphrey, and Jake Heimark. These shots that Edna was talking about were diphtheria, whooping cough, and smallpox vaccinations that we gave in several schools. We covered Holly regularly every year or 2 years. We were in Glendon, we were in Hitterdal, we were in Yulin, and I don't think we ever went to Dilworth. Holly and Dr. Methune came in 1949. We didn't go into the schools, but I once in a while got to see a Lake Park patient before Dr. Methune came in 1949. I believe we gave shots in Felton too in April one time, Edna says. At least we carried all this stuff from the office and went through sometimes a few hundred students. We were there for several hours to cover the school, everybody who, to keep them up to date on their whooping cough, diphtheria, tetanus, and smallpox vaccinations. Later on, we got oral polio. Well, first we got shots. It used to be brought down by Fred Rustin. He did a lot of good voluntary work, and he'd bring a vaccine from Morehead to Holly to Barnesville. You did quite a bit of work after I left town and Bach and Durkee left town. You used to go to Holly Manor quite a bit, didn't you?
Did you go up there to see Art Carlson?
For 6 years, I gave insulin shots to Art Carlson and, goodness, this other man. Now I can't think of his name. But anyway, sometimes I walked because the weather was terrible and you couldn't drive. But I had to be there before breakfast. So I was, and that worked out real nice. In fact, Mrs. Renke at the manor would call me if someone got sick or had strokes. And I even gave enemas up there. They even bought a new outfit for me to do that. But anyway, after we got our hurt, we call it. It's our emergency.
Before that, you used to make calls to people.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't need me anymore at the manor. Also, while I was still working for Dr. Thysel, I'd go and sit with sick people. I sat with Mrs. Emil Thysel and Mrs. John T. McDonald, and I together sat with her, each sat half a night. I sat with Mrs. Axel Peterson. She died of cancer, I'd go out if people were sick and take care of them. I know once Thorvald Mellon had to come and get me to go over to, what was his name that had a, he was in the bank once too. Yeah, it was Johnson's, to Johnson, and then he'd wait and take me back so I wouldn't lose too much time. And those things all happened.
You did quite a bit of private duty nursing before you started to work for me, didn't you? Because you graduated in 1930 and you didn't work for me until 1942. You must have...
I did like private duty. I think my nicest patient in all those years was Mrs. H.F. Mensing, and she had a gallbladder operation at St. Luke's Hospital, and she had a long time before she recovered, and then I went home with her for a while, and she was a very, very nice person, and I took care of Alice Branzer when she died. At home, yeah, she had TB. Yeah, she had graduated from nurses training at St. Luke's Hospital, so her roommate was there, and then a real good friend, nurse friend of hers from Audubon, so we each had our, I was at nights, and Dr. Simonson was her doctor, and he said he never saw so many nurses in one house in his life, but it just happened that Alice died at night when I was on duty. One thing I'll never forget was she died around Easter time, but Reverend Hauge, they asked him to come over, and it was Good Friday, and Mrs. Branzer asked me if I'd stay and wait, and we did, and he took out his big watch, and he said, at 9 o'clock they hung him on the tree, he said. And Alice said, I wish I had, I would know that I have done everything I should do. He said, none of us know that. He said, we all do the best we can. We're all forgiven, and you're not to worry. I think he was a most wonderful minister. I was on country cases. I know one time I was on at Hanson, so his mind was was off, and in the night, it was terrible, it was March, and so they said to call Dr. Bergheim and to tell him to bring Reverend Hauge along, and they had terrible roads, they had to go in the fields, somebody brought them, but they got there, and when they got there, his mind was as clear as it could be, and he said, what are you doing out on such a bad night? So they said, well, we were in the neighborhood and we saw your light, so we thought we'd stop in. And so then Reverend Hauge come in to his bed and he said, ah, du chittle. And then he had his little book along and he read, and he even sang a Norwegian hymn, and everybody felt much better. And then they went back to town, and it was just a week later that he got another stroke and passed away, but I was there yet. And, Chittle Hansen. The minister always used to come to them for noon dinner when he was at Grand Church, and the boys were showing me if I got a real hard sugar lump, you were supposed to whoosh the coffee through the sugar lump, and I had learned that pretty well. And then I taught them how to tell fortunes in the coffee grounds. So then every time the minister came, they'd pass me the sugar bowl. But of course I couldn't very well swish coffee through a sugar lump when the minister was there. And then another thing, this son of this Hansen came down to St. Ansgar's to get me. And I was real proud to think somebody from Hawley would come way down there. And we were halfway there when he said, the only reason I got you to take care of our dad was because you can talk Norwegian. And I said, I can't talk Norwegian. Your father can, he said. Well, I said, he was 11 when he come from Norway. And I mix it all up. But then when I got to the farmhouse, I told him not to speak English at all, just to speak Norwegian. And I made it. They said I had the wrong accent and I didn't sound right, but that Grandpa understood me. He called me Evelyn, that was his granddaughter's name, and we got along just fine. Yeah.
I'm glad we got Edna going. I think if you could stimulate her a little bit, she'd remember a lot of things. That was kind of a long story, but it was interesting. I'm glad we got it on tape. I'm sure she could remember some more if we could only get them, bring them to mind, but they're hard to think of when you want to, but I'm glad that experience was recorded. It's true, Doctor, like Edna says, Reverend Haughey was quite a dedicated minister. He came in 1900 and was here until 1954 when his wife had passed away, and he was 55 years in Hawley and had five congregations. He was a pretty dedicated minister. Edna was a pretty dedicated nurse all the time she spent in Hawley. She always was quite compassionate and did a lot of things for different people without getting paid sometimes, too. She just always came when she was called. She wants to tell an experience when she was over to my Uncle Carl. My dad was Albert, and he had two brothers, Carl and Emil, that are in business with him, and she had mentioned sitting with Mrs. Emil Thysel. Now she's got something to tell about Carl Thysel.
Mrs. Carl Thysel said she needed help because she said Carl was, he'd had strokes. He was downstairs. They had a big, beautiful home. He was downstairs in the sun parlor, and she had Miss Mickelson upstairs with pneumonia, and she was very high fever. She said, "What shall I do? I'll have to sleep in the stairway between the two." So I went over. I told her, though, that I was working at the time. I told her that I didn't know if I could stay awake, but I came. And she slept all night, and Carl slept all night, and Miss Mickelson slept all night, and I went to sleep and didn't wake up till 5 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke up, I thought, where am I, and what was this I was supposed to do? So I quick got into Miss Mickelson's room, and her fever had broken. She was all sweaty. And then later on, why, I bathed her and changed her bed and went and got my clothes on and went on duty again. That's the way we used to work in Hawley. Everybody helped everyone else.
Miss Mickelson, she's talking about, was a first grade teacher in Hawley for, must have been 25 or 30 years. She was quite idolized by so many pupils who'd had her for first grade, and she was still a teacher when many of them had grown up. Mrs. Emil Thysel, as you mentioned earlier, was Vance Thysel's mother, and she died of cancer in the late 1940s. Carl Thysel was sick with a stroke, and his wife took care of him, but Carl lasted a little longer than Emma. His wife Emma died of a heart attack, and Carl still lived a couple more years. I'm sure every once in a while I gave Edna kind of a bad time because it seemed like it kept the doctor busy all the time, and sometimes my wife and I went with friends down to Detroit Lakes and were gone for a few hours in the evening, and sometimes an emergency would happen at that time, and it kind of fell on Edna's shoulder, and I know she didn't appreciate it very much.
I delivered four babies.
You did deliver four babies?
Oh,
she says she delivered four babies while I wasn't around. It's pretty hard to be around 24 hours every day, 7 days of the week. So sometimes we go down to Detroit Lakes to Savage or some other place just for a few hours. But many times when I got back, well, Edna had been called, and I noticed it upset her nervous system quite a bit because she was responsible until I got back. Once in a while, I'd have to go out in the country after we did get back on Saturday night. But I'm not going to go into all that. I've got my own experiences on another tape.
In summary, with Edna Dollum as a nurse in hospital at St. Asker's and in Hawley, and I think I should just mention something, sum it all up. She graduated from nursing from St. Asker's Hospital in 1930. She did a lot of private duty nursing and in hospital nursing at St. Asker's from 1930 to 1942. She worked for me in Hawley from 1942 to 1960 when I moved to Moorhead. And after I moved to Moorhead, she worked in the nursery at the pediatrics in St. Ansgar's Hospital for a few months, but she got the return of her eczema, which has bothered her quite a bit of her life, so she had to quit this. But she later worked in the newborn nursery at St. Ansgar's and worked there for quite a while. She also, in 61 to 64, worked for Dr. Curtis Bach and the Holly boy, who returned to practice medicine in Holly, and Leon Bierke, a classmate of his. They were in Holly from 1961 to 64 and had to work for them in their office. And they left, when they left Holly, she was out of work again, so she returned to St. Ansgar's Hospital and worked there as a nurse. But I did have her working in my office for several months, a good part of a year. I had a full-time employee, Agnes Jensen, in my Moorhead office, but Edna worked half days for quite a few months in my office. Since that time, she retired, and she did a lot of work in Holly, seeing many patients at Holly Manor when something came up, which has been previously mentioned. I think that this just about sums it up. Edna has always been a pretty compassionate individual, and her daily life has practically been dedicated to nursing. She was always eager to help people out, and often did so without any thought of recompense. Dr. Theisel, summing it up as an interviewer,